Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1209, we present three more new stories from Anna Conoriva. Tonight's writer, Anna Conoriva, was born in Moscow, Russia in 1989. Anna attended a visual arts school in Moscow, but spent most of her childhood many hours away from the big city, reading, biking, swimming, and fishing in her grandma's village. Anna's grandma was and is very passionate about literature, and she became the biggest influence on Anna's love for writing. Anna's parents, both successful artists and designers, wanted Anna to pursue a career in visual arts. But after immigrating to Canada in 2002, Anna put away her graphic pencils and paintbrushes and pursued studies in writing. Anna now lives in Mississauga, Ontario, and continues to express her creativity in this craft. Tonight's stories come from the Russian Stories chapter of Konarev's recently published collection, Barbie Dolls and Boas. Earlier this month, the stories in this book, specifically Trains, Rust, and Mold, which you heard last week on Life Rattle, garnered a Mississauga Art Council's 2012 MARTI Emerging Literary Arts Award. The three stories featured on tonight's program continue the tale of the Moscow family newly settled in Canada as Anna and Sasha grow into young adults and assimilate the North American lifestyle while still holding on to the Russian roots of their childhood. Let's listen now as Anna Conoriva reads her story, Lattes and Ballet Classes, tonight on Life Rattle.
Lattes and Ballet Classes by Anna Conoriva. Remember when we just came to Canada, we couldn't afford $10 lattes? I smiled at my mom and my brother through the candlelight of Green Bean Cafe. My brother and I now speak to each other in English, and I call him Alex instead of Sasha. I hold a white bowl to my lips and take a sip of the Parisian, an espresso drink with steamed milk and sugar. Alex pokes his fork into a tall slice of chocolate cake, and Mom grins. "Yes, look at us now," Mom says. "We have a house and two cars, and we can spend money on expensive coffee. We are real Canadians now." She swirls a spoon in the foam of her vanilla latte and bites into a pecan tart, her favorite snack. For 2 years now, Mom, Alex, and I have driven from Mississauga to the Green Bean Cafe in Oakville for coffee. Chairs with soft burgundy cushions, low wooden tables, candles in vintage holders, classical music, and a fireplace make Green Bean Cafe a favorite place for chat. The Green Bean Cafe reminds us of European coffee shops. "Still, Canada is boring, and people here dress like villagers," Alex shakes his head. Alex moved to Boston, Massachusetts in September to attend ballet school, and he just came back to Mississauga for the winter holidays. There are so many things to do in other countries. I stare at Alex and put down my coffee. His dark brown hair curls up at the sides, and he's starting to grow facial hair. "Well, obviously, this isn't New York," I say. "I'm just saying, why would anybody want to live here?" Mom cups her chin and watches us. The light from the candles flickers in her eyes and lights up her face. Freckles sprinkle across her nose and cheekbones, and her skin is rosy and smooth. "Kids, let's look on the bright side," she says. "My Canadian friends talk about their children, and I always say how proud I am that my son is in a ballet school and my daughter is at a university." "That's right, University of Toronto." I scowl at Alex and straighten my shoulders. I got into every university I applied to. "Universities here are crappy. You should have went to Harvard or Columbia. That's the real deal. Then you would really be smart and cool." There's no point arguing with you. You're only 16. I sigh. We just moved here 6 years ago, and you expect us to afford Harvard? Alex bites into a large, sponge-like piece of chocolate and cream. He looks at me from the corners of his eyes and smirks. Well, Alex has his career set, Mom says, and I hope that you will find something for you too. Maybe you will go back to arts, and then both of you will be talented kids. Mom watches me. I smile and twist in my seat. I quit art school 2 years ago, at 16. Yeah, I'm sure I will find something. In the spring, I fly to Boston to visit Alex for a week. Mom says that Alex is homesick, and I tell her that I miss him as well. Before Alex moved out, we were best friends. We went bike riding, rollerblading, and shopping together. I wait outside Boston Ballet School with a Starbucks latte and two chocolate chip cookies. Alex lazily uses his body to push open the glass door of the school. A sports bag sags from his shoulders, and sweat covers his face. Alex's jeans sit loose around his waist, and he is now taller than me. Hey, Mississauga, thanks for the coffee, he says. School sucks. I'm skipping class tomorrow, so I can show you how the cool people live. You can't skip class. Classes are important, and your school costs a lot. Whatever. Mom will never know. Alex tightens the straps of his bag, wipes his face with the sleeve of his khaki-colored coat, and bites into a chocolate chip cookie. We walk down Clarendon Street. I blab about my school assignments and my friends. Alex stares at the ground. I miss you when you listen to me, I say when we stop at the lights. I miss you when you didn't talk like Mom. Alex turns away, crosses the road, and I run behind him. Cars honk, and Alex waves his middle fingers in the air.
That was Anna Konnariva reading her story, Lattes and Ballet Classes. The next story brings us right into the kitchen, the heart of any family. Konnariva weaves dialogue that is so believable and familiar that you'll feel you know these characters. Let's listen now as Anna Konnariva reads her story, Chardonnay.
Chardonnay by Anna Konnariva. Do you know how fast women become alcoholics? Mom screams at me from across the kitchen of our Mississauga house. Read the statistics. First, their face goes blue, then black. I press my face into my hand and roll my eyes. My cheeks grow hot. I twist a half-empty glass of Chardonnay in my hand and glance around the kitchen and the living room. Light brown tiles with swirls cover the floor. A mini bar with tall, stick-like chairs separates the kitchen from the living room. Wine glasses and condiment bottles decorate the rooms, along with three paintings of Valdai, the Russian town where Grandma still lives. Unlike the other kitchens I've seen, there are no crumbs anywhere. Unlike other kitchens, the kitchen table is the least comfortable place to sit. It's a heavy glass rectangle. My stepdad, Ilya, lies in a living room couch with a remote control and a large glass of red wine in his hands. His socks dangle off his feet. Mom twists the water tap and bangs pots against each other in the sink. Everything you do has a consequence, she says as she yanks open the cupboard beneath the sink. Two Chardonnay bottles stand empty. My friend Clara and I shared them last weekend when Mom and Ilya traveled to Quebec for business. Clara had broken up with her boyfriend for the fourth time and needed a drinking buddy. Alcoholism is serious. Mom's voice rises as she pulls out an overflowing garbage container. I stomp up to the sink and dump my wine glass. A golden stream pours over the pots. Stop wasting wine, Mom yells. You waste egg yolks with your egg white omelets. You waste all the sauces in the fridge because you pour half a cup for everything. And now you waste wine too. But it will make my face turn blue, Ma. Listen to your mom, student, Ilya says. He clenches a Davidoff cigarette between his teeth and strolls towards the front door. His cut-off sleeve shirt with I Heart New York in red block letters stretches across his stomach. Ilya never called me by my first name. I tell you, it's your boyfriend. Men are worthless, Mom says, wiping sweat from her forehead. They don't want you to succeed, and they will do anything to be better than you, even if that means making you an alcoholic. That's why you go to school and become independent, and not an alcoholic. If I like wine, then I will drink wine, I yell. And I bought those eggs myself, so I can waste them all I want. I'm not gonna save the yolk in a separate bowl, because nobody wants a yolk omelette. Mom squirms and loops around the kitchen. She pulls bags of 3-day-old carrots and eggplant out of the fridge. She shoves the vegetables into the overflowing garbage pile. Mom clicks open containers of salmon and sniffs the pink meat. She twists closed the half-open lids of bottles with Russian and English labels. She lines up the bottles by their size. Mom picks out 2 Ziploc bags of sliced apples and stubby strawberries. She sprinkles a packet of sweetener on the strawberries. You're young and stupid. Are you even in school anymore? I don't know what you're doing these days. Mom shrugs. Yes, I'm in school. That's good to know. A frown ripples across Mom's face. Mom stands only as tall as my chin, but the curls in her hair make her look taller. She bites into a strawberry and swirls it in her mouth. The front door alarm beeps as the door opens and Ilya wanders back into the living room. He flops back onto the living room couch and switches the TV channel. A Russian version of the movie Avatar comes on. The characters all speak in the same digital male voice. Ilya, can you change the garbage already, or do I have to ask? Mom waves her hand. Ilya sighs, slides off the couch, and circles around us to the garbage container. The smell of humid air and a bitter smell of cigarettes and red wine hangs over the kitchen. Why don't you make the student do it? She doesn't do anything. Ilya twists the corners of the white garbage bag into a knot. Mom bites into another strawberry and swirls it in her mouth. Anyway, I'm going to bed, and I don't want to hear any drawers opening or any showers running. Especially no TV. Mom glares at Ilya from the corners of her eyes. I have a yolk glass tomorrow at 8, in case anybody forgot. Mom glides out of the kitchen. The curlers wiggle around in her hair as she walks up the stairs. Ilya tosses the rest of his wine down his throat. I pout and shuffle after Mom.
That was Anna Konareva reading her story, Chardonnay. With the hats off to Father's Day, tonight's final story, Konarev, centers on a long-distance phone call between a daughter and her father. Their bittersweet conversation, full of frustration and pain and love, reveals more of the true nature of the father-child relationship than all the Hallmark cards on the drugstore rack. Let's listen now as Anna Konareva reads her story, Konarev.
Konarev by Anna Konareva. The beeping of the front door alarm echoes in my temples as I tiptoe inside her house at 2 in the afternoon. I did not come home last night. Instead, I drank beer at a Niagara casino with my friends. The stale smell of cigarettes travels with me inside the hallway. I spritz my hair and chest with flowery perfume and rub my eyes. Swollen patches of skin puff out beneath my bottom eyelashes. "And where were you last night?" Mom yells from the kitchen. Mom leans against the kitchen counter, flips through a yoga book, and bites into a pineapple wedge. Her knees hold a yoga mat in a tight roll between her legs. Mom looks up at me. I nod. "Hi, Mom. My friends took me to Niagara." I pat my head and smooth out the puff of my hair. "And you slept in a hotel?" "Yeah." Mom studies my face. "You look terrible." "I did not sleep in a hotel last night. I did not sleep at all. My friends gambled and smoked, and with a pint of Canadian in my hand, I watched them lose money." "I don't get rest in hotels," I say. "Anyway," Mom lifts the yoga mat, "my phone is overheating because your papa called a million times. He wants to talk to you. He may have been drinking." Mom searches the pocket of her Lululemon jacket and picks out a piece of graph paper with Konarev written in cursive at the top. Mom only calls Dad by his last name since they divorced. "Okay, I have a few minutes." Dad usually calls me once or twice a year, on my birthday or New Year's Eve. Often, he calls on his own birthday, the day before mine, and he wishes me a happy 15th. He wishes me a happy 15th every year. I struggle up the stairs to my bedroom and think about Dad. I remember Dad frying eggs with onions in our tiny Moscow kitchen. That was the only meal Dad knew how to cook. He would eat the eggs with vodka and salty, dry herring. Mom would yell at Dad if he fed my brother and me eggs with herring for dinner. It became our favorite dinner. Dad owns an architecture and design firm in downtown Moscow. When we were young, my brother and I would play solitaire on Dad's computer. We would toy with his rulers, graphic pencils, dry paint brushes, and wooden building structures. I would study Dad's thick drawing books and his book of colors and patterns. When I was 6 years old, I promised Dad that I would be an artist like him. I quit art school 4 years ago, at 16. I scraped mascara from my eyelashes with my fingernails and plopped down onto my computer chair. I dial a sequence of numbers required to reach Moscow into my phone. "Allo," Dad yells on the other end of the line. "Papa?" "Allo," Dad yells louder. He has bad hearing at 60 years old. "Hi." "Allo, Anya. Is that you?" "Yes." "Allo, Anya." The long-distance connection breaks up Dad's words. "Yes, I can hear you. How are things?" "I called you Americans 3 times this morning." 3 times. "Why are you still sleeping at 8 in the morning?" "'Cause it's summer for me, Pa." "Ah, summer. So what if it's summer? Lazy Americans never do anything there in the summer. Over here, we have no holidays." Mom's head appears around the door of my room. Mom gestures her thumb up and winks. "Be nice," Mom whispers. I nod and yawn. Mom's red curls bounce away and the door clicks into its frame. I press the phone back to my ear. "Allo, allo," Dad yells. "Sorry, Papa, I'm here." "Something happened to the phone." "I muted it because Mama came in." "You need a better phone." Okay. "So I wanted to talk to you," Dad stutters. "About?" "I need to know if you will ever visit Moscow again." "Pa, when are you coming here? You need to see my university and our house and meet my guy. Plus, you can afford to come here, but I can't afford to go there." Mom has prepared visitor documents for Dad three times. Each time, Dot promised to buy plane tickets and then said that he could not leave his business. Each time, Bam muttered, typical Konarev with big promises and big money. So are you coming alone or with the guy? Alone, I guess. Good. Unless you're getting married, I don't want to meet him. Uh-huh. I twist my bangs between my fingers and sigh. So what I wanted to ask, Dot pauses. I want to know what your goal in life is. My cat Baba leaps out of my closet, jogs across the room, and jumps onto my lap. I tickle my fingers through his long, gray-blue fur and pick out a Cosmopolitan magazine from the pile of papers on my desk. I brush through the pages and study the colors of the 2010 summer dresses, skirts, and shirts. Anya? Dot clears his throat. To be happy, Pa. To be happy? Dot chuckles. To be happy. See? I knew you were an idiot. Was I supposed to say that my goal is to be an artist, Pa? I thought it's clear that I'm never going back to art again. Yes? I've never seen anyone else draw so well, Dad yells. When I was 6 years old, I made a new drawing for Dad every day. Dad would press his glasses onto the ridge of his nose and study his drawing for 5 minutes. Then he would smile. Dad did not smile often. Dad enrolled me at one of the best art schools in Moscow. He drove me to my classes every day until Mom, Alex, Ilya, and I immigrated. Dad never forgot when I left the Toronto art school at 16 years old. What angered him more is that I chose a communications program at the University of Toronto over one of the art colleges. Well, drawing and painting isn't for Canada, I shout into the phone. It can only be a hobby here and not a career. Everyone is an artist here. A fucking graphic artist. If you had made the time to visit us, you would have seen that. You would have seen that I'm not an idiot. Dot coughs. I hang up. Tears trickle beneath my eyelids, and I wipe the gray puddles under my eyelashes into my cheeks. At least this fucking mascara is completely off now, I say, staring at my cat. Baba yawns, stretches his paws towards my face, and then struggles out of my lap. Baba's stomach jiggles as he jogs across my room. I walk to my bed, tuck my body under the covers, and guess count how many beers I had last night.
That was Anna Konareva reading her story, Konarev. That concludes Life Rattle number 1209. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Anna reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Achtman. Tune into Life Rattle next Sunday night at 9 to hear more stories.